That's why people chase human beings around. They think that human beings do miracles. Because human beings go around claiming they do miracles. And they claim we have the anointing. They claim we have this, we have, you don't have nothing. The Bible makes it clear that power belongs to who? To God. God can use you, but you don't own the power. You don't have nothing. That God is using you doesn't mean you own it. It belongs to God, and he uses us as he wills. And in Acts chapter 19, verse 11, which I want you to put up there. If you don't get this point, you put your faith in human beings. And you disconnect from God immediately. And the Bible says there, and God did. Who did? I want to hear you. Who did? And God did. Again, let's say it again. Who did? Come on, I want to hear you. Who did? And God did unusual and extraordinary miracles by the hands of who? Paul. That's the record of the Holy Spirit. If you fast forward today, it's Paul they talk about. Say, Paul, did you see the miracle? That man carry anointing. The miracle the man did. The man does zero. It's God that does it. By the hands of people. But it's not those people. It's God. I want you to get it right. That it is God that does miracles. It is God that heals. It is God that answers prayer. No human being answers your prayer. No human being heals you. It is God. I want all of us to read this again. Let's go. One, two, go. And God did on you and extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. Verse 12. What did God do? So that handkerchief or towels or aprons which had touched his skin were carried away and put upon the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Can you imagine that your handkerchief that touches you heals people? Tomorrow, people won't hear again. You become so important that if you are coming, everybody will scatter. And then you take titles. Oh my God. You go in a motorcade. I was embarrassed riding with one pastor that in Lagos, and he had these police people scattering everybody. And we were going against the traffic because it's a big man of God. Now, when I invited him to a church, God warned me, said, don't do that. My wife warned me, I didn't listen. And God warned me, said, don't do that. Let me tell you, people, God has no big pastor. God has no big pastor. There's only one big pastor, the great high priest. And his name is who? Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for you are all brethren. So the point I want to start to make is that don't you ever forget that miracles are done by God. Don't you ever forget. Don't you ever forget it. The Bible says so that your faith will not be in men and the wisdom of men. It's easy to think it's man. I mean, handkerchief from somebody's body is healing people, casting out devils. You think it's him. Then people start worshiping human beings. Praise the Lord. When Jesus came here, he said to us, he said, everything you people see me do is my Father that is doing all these things. He said, my Father, the Father in me, he does all of this. He said, this is the finger of God you're seeing. It's my Father. My Father is doing them. He's the Son of God. But he said, my Father is the one doing all of these things. Now, if we know that, then I want to show you where we get disconnected from the miracles of God very easily. If your faith is not in the God that does the miracle, you will draw blank. You will draw blank. You will draw what? Blank. You know, Paul knew this when he went to Corinth. In spite of all these things God was doing through this man, he went to Corinthian church. He said to them, he said, listen. He said, I'm among you with fear and trembling. He said, I'm not even too confident in myself. He said, look at me. I'm just among you with fear and trembling. He said, I don't even know how to preach. Say, yeah. They say, you don't know how to preach. He said, yes. He said, I don't know. He said, so that you people will now put your faith in God and not in me. So that you know that this thing is happening cannot be me that doesn't know how to preach. It has to be God. He said, now you people see the result of what God is doing. So he said, I'm happy so that so nobody will say it's Paul that is doing this. He wanted them to focus on Christ. He wanted them to focus on God. He didn't want any focus in himself. So he was busy taking himself away from taking the glory that belongs to God only. So we must understand that it's God that does these things, and your faith must be in God. Because it is him that heals you, answers your prayer. It is him that does all these things. It is not human beings. And so, if you know that, then you understand that your faith is what takes the miracle of God from his hand. Before I came here, I was listening to a testimony by a pastor, how he had a brother that came to be prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And over some time, he was not receiving it. So when he came again, the pastor said, what else am I supposed to do? Every time I lay hands on this man, he doesn't receive anything. And he said, as a matter of fact, anytime you touch him, it's like you are touching wood. And all I said is, well, let him come again. Let me just put my hand and let him go and sit down. He said, the man came to me, and this is a real story, and stood in front of me and said to me, Pastor, if you touch me now, I will receive this thing. And the pastor said, immediately, listen to this story, it will help you. He said, immediately I stretched forth my hand, fire came out at the congregation site from my hand and hit his head. He began to speak in tongues. Real fire came out from my hand and hit his head. The church saw the fire, literally. And this is a man I've been laying hands on for too long and nothing. But when he stood before me, he said, if you lay hands on me now, I'm going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Faith came. He said it. And he drew the power of God. He pulled the power of God. It was not the pastor. Because the pastor said, here he comes again. I'm just going to lay hands on him. Let him go and see. In fact, he said, I was tempted to tell him, why are you coming again? So it couldn't be the pastor's faith. It was the man's faith. Do you have a parallel in the Bible? Of course. There was a woman with the issue of blood. She has suffered for too long. It was a situation that was incurable because the doctors then could not help him. But he heard about who? Jesus Christ. And she said, what did she say? Come on, let me hear you. What did she say? I shall be what? This man came and told the pastor, if you lay your hands on me now, I will be filled. I want you to see the thing repeated many years after and the same result gotten. Jesus was there and the woman came and said, if only I touch the hem of what? His garment, I shall be. And when she touched, power came. She was made whole. And she began to tremble. Maybe, wow, this man will get mad with me. And Jesus said, don't you bother about it. Your faith has made you whole. And here comes a man. Listen again. Please draw that parallel and get something this evening. Here comes a man and comes to the pastor and says, if you lay your hands on me now, I shall be baptized in the what? Come on, I shall be what? In fact, after this thing happened, and after the service, that pastor that had the experience was discussing it with other pastors. And then one of the pastors said, when I came to church, I saw that man sitting somewhere. And I went to greet him. And he said to me, he said, today is my day. This night is my night. He said, if I go in there, the moment that preacher touches me, I'm going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He said, when that happened, I wasn't surprised because he already told me what will happen. But the pastor laying hands didn't hear and didn't know. And he was going to tell him, why don't you sit down? Maybe I will teach you some more before you come up here. And here he didn't know that this man's faith has what? Come up. And the man said, listen to me. The man said, this is my night. If that man lays hands on me, I'm going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then he came up and stood before the pastor and said, maybe he saw the face of the pastor that the pastor was seeing in his face and body language. Why are you here? Again, he told him, he said, no, pastor, you lay hands on me. If you do that now, I'm going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And remember that that baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. And so the pastor began to stretch forth his hand. And literal fire came out of that hand, that the entire church saw the fire. And then, the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 7 began to confirm this. He said, don't start sitting up there and saying, where is God? Don't start sitting there and saying, who will go and bring Jesus up and bring him up? He said, stop all that kind of thing. And saying, God, where are you? Romans chapter 10, can we read it a little bit? Start from verse 6. Verse 6. But the righteousness based, let's read the New King James Version. I don't have time for expanding this up amplified. But the righteousness of faith speaks. The righteousness of faith, what? Speaks. I want us to say that. The righteousness of faith, what? Speaks. I want you to say it again. The righteousness of faith, what? Speaks. He said, faith speaks. Do you know unbelief also speaks? It's righteousness of faith. The righteous act of faith speaks. The unrighteous act of doubt also speaks. And this is where people get themselves into trouble. Because at the end of the day, it is what you are speaking that's happening to you. He said, Pastor, you lay hands on me right now, I'll be feel. Who said it? The man said it. Was he filled? Come on, talk to me. Was he filled? He was filled. But before he was filled, he was coming to the same meeting and saying, I'm not qualified. I will not get it. Maybe all these people come better than me will get it. That's what he was saying. Faith came. He changed what he was saying. And what he was saying is, you lay hands on me, I get it. And the Bible says, the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who we ascend into heaven. So where is God? You know we do that. Do we? Come on, talk to me now. We do that. You say, this thing I've been suffering, where is God? But we sometimes conclude that God is not there. If God is there, why is this? We do that. He said, if you want to speak in faith, don't even begin to say in your heart who we are sending to heaven. That is to bring Jesus Christ down from above, which means he's not here with me. He's not, I'm in trouble here. That is God. Since it's tough to go up to heaven, maybe we descend into what? The abyss. That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Said, he so ignored me. Somebody needs to wake him up. I have issues here. Go bring him up from the dead. Or he's in heaven. He's too glorified. I'm too small. That's a gap between us. I don't merit it. Or he's dead. Doesn't respond to me. Said, faith does not talk like that. Then, the next verse. The next verse is verse 8. But what does this say? The word is what? The word is what? I didn't hear you. The word is what? Where is it? In your hand, in your heart. What is it? That is the word of faith which we preach to you. Then he gave us example that if you will confess or say with your mouth, with your own mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can't substitute anything there. If you confess and say with your mouth that I'm healed, that Jesus healed me, then you'll be healed. If you can open your mouth and say, I pray now, he answers, I get it now, then you shall have it. But if you open your mouth again and vomit things, and say, well, maybe he's dead, maybe he doesn't answer my prayer, won't have nothing. You can say it in your heart, say it in your mouth, won't have nothing. The Bible says, if the gospel is preached to us and we don't mix it with faith, it will profit us nothing. I've come to realize that the thing between us and miracles is our doubt, our unbelief. And it's because sometimes we don't even know where to focus our faith. Because we don't know who does this thing. Whether it's God, whether it's you. So I'm confused. We don't know where this help is coming from. We don't know who does this thing. The word of God is God that wrote it. All you need to do is to believe it. I went to see somebody who was going to do surgery, major surgery. And then I said, hey, when I come, I give you a word from the Lord. I said, I'm sure God spoke about this. So I got there. And they were just rambling and talking and rambling and talking. And all of a sudden, I said to her, I said, you know, Jesus does surgery. I said, because all good things come from him. So he's our doctor. So when you go in there, he will use the hands of these people and do the surgery. Because what I was telling this sister is that God used the hands of Paul. So God will use the hands of the surgeons. I said, when Jesus does your surgery, it is awesome. Praise the Lord. And then we continue, because we just keep rambling and rambling. And all of a sudden, I got the scripture for her. And I gave it to her. And when I gave it to her, her face lit up. Joy came. She was so excited that when the husband called, she was laughing. She was so excited that she was laughing. I said to the husband, have you had your wife? She's not laughing. But the husband called me and said, Pastor, please. It's like she's depressed. I said, don't worry about it, because her heart is empty of the word. There's no faith there because the word hasn't come. And then when we started to share, she was not laughing. And the husband called and said, did you hear your wife now? She's laughing because faith has come. And I said to her, what is going to happen? He said, the Lord will do the surgery and I'm fine. I said, that's it. Case closed. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I didn't hear you. I said, praise the Lord. I got her to speak it with her mouth. That this is what will happen. Because if you shall say. If you shall say it. Then that's what will happen. Praise the Lord. So as we are here this night. As we are here this evening. And even when you go home. Go and check what you've been saying. And one of the greatest attacks that the devil does on the Christian. Is to put words in their mouth. Because we think it doesn't matter. Especially when you are talking with your friends. Because we think this word of faith is only when you are in church you speak it. So when you go talking with your friends, you forget church. Then you open your mouth, the devil is putting blah, 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 blah. And you are laughing and chatting and talking. And I don't know, self. This thing, the chemo. This thing. And you are talking, brah, 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 brah. And after you sow that seed, you turn around and expect things to work. But the Bible says that you must hold fast to the confession of your what? Faith. Whether you're with friends or in the toilet or whatever. Don't change what you're saying now. Don't change what you're saying now. Hold fast to it. Hold fast to it. Hold fast to it. In fact, I was told that the woman with the issue of blood, that the Greek word is that she continued to say. That it wasn't that she said it once. I listened to one Greek scholar. They said that in translation is that she kept on saying that thing over and over to herself. And I tend to believe that. Because faith comes by hearing. And what? By hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith doesn't come by hearing once. Sometimes it can come by hearing once because you've heard before and you repeated it. But it always comes by hearing again and again. And I want to recommend something to us. If you have a challenge in your life, take a scripture. Stop all this rambling all over the place. Take a scripture that deals with that thing and focus on it like a lesson. Morning, afternoon, night, and keep saying it. Keep studying it, keep saying it, keep studying it. The devil will fight you. He will fight you because he knows you got it. He will raise all manner of... Try it, you see what I'm telling you. He will try to discourage you, make you feel tired, make this is not working. What are you doing? Stop all these things. Oh, well, you got it. And then phone calls will come when you want to look at it, and then your children will look, if you can fight that fight of faith, that's what you got to do. Got to focus on it like a lesson. And say it morning and night, morning, every time. Just focus on it like a lesson. You will see wonders. That word you focus on is a precursor of miracles. You will see wonders. When it opens you, your spirit like light, your faith will come alive. You see things you've never seen before. I'm telling you. Or you take a teaching that blessed you, that built faith in you. Don't joke with those things. Go and get the seed. Don't listen to many of them. Listen to one. Keep listening to that one. Listen, because you have an issue you want to resolve. That thing built your faith. Listen to it over and over and over. Before long, it starts coming out of your mouth. Praise the Lord. Have you ever listened to music and then before you know it, you are singing it? Eh? One man told me, he said, one day I was driving, I started singing, na tom tom, na he me tom tom. He said, where did I get this? I realized I've been listening to the advertisement about tom tom. And without thinking, he was singing, Nah, tom tom. He said, tom tom is so wonderful. He said, I didn't know when I started singing it. And it's true, because some music you listen to casually, without thinking, you find yourself singing it. That's what you do. Because it is that your faith that will pull the power of God. Pull it. And while there's no faith, nothing is possible. But while there is faith, all things are possible. So let's learn to exercise our faith and say so. Say so. And keep it steady. When you are with your friends, be conscious of what the devil wants you to say. Because the devil will start some people to say things to provoke you, to make you say negative things. Coin what they tell you in such a way that your response will make it negative. Oh, the devil is wicked. And they won't even know they are being motivated by their demons. They won't know. One time the Lord said to me, he said, if Christians don't live a careful life, they will lose a lot. He said, Christians need to be watchful and careful. He said, the devil motivates Christians to put other Christians in trouble. He said, you know, he did it to Peter. He used Peter to want to put Jesus in trouble. But Jesus recognized that it was not Peter. It was the devil. And he addressed the devil directly. And he said, a lot of Christians, they are not possessed. Don't misunderstand me now. They are not possessed, but they can be motivated by demons. And they say things innocently. Innocently. Without knowing that the devil is using them to make you respond in a way that will hurt you. Looks innocent. But it doesn't, it wants to interfere in your confession of your faith so that it is not steady. Because he knows that if you doubt, that the man that wavereth will receive. So he wants you to waver. Watch it. Okay, let me give you an assignment. Watch 2 weeks to come. In 2 weeks, just be watching. You will notice what I'm telling you. In your, it could be in your house. Somebody starts talking something. And without your thinking, brah, 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 you start vomiting those things. What the word is coming from your mouth. So we need to be careful. We need to be vigilant, but not suspicious and not focused on Satan. But the Bible warns us that we Christians must watch because we have an enemy roaming around looking for who he will eat up. But he won't eat me and he won't eat you. Can I hear amen? Amen. And he won't eat your miracle also. Amen. But you have to keep saying what we have, what you believe. And if your friends are a bunch of unbelievers, please keep away from them. You have nothing to lose. Thank you. God bless you.
Good evening, everyone. As Pastor has preached, we're going to get up and you know, get charged up for prayer tonight. As we all know, this Elevate was something that the prayer ministry came up with and something that we really wanted to use to really encourage people to take it a little further and step it up in their personal lives when it comes to their walk with God.